Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here tonight, and also hope that if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our phone line is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. Love to hear from you tonight, and also we're going to pray in just a moment, but I wanted to make mention too here at the start of the program. I want to continue on a little bit about what we've been talking about last week, and this idea of these false teachers that we have today, and the false psychics, fake psychics, and false or fraudulent faith healers. And I want to clarify too, right at the outset, I firmly believe that God can and does work miracles. And I wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't believe that God cannot work miracles. We serve a miracle working God, and certainly every single individual that is conceived in the womb, that's a miracle of God, and every single individual that trusts Christ as their Savior has their sins washed away in the blood of Christ, and they find new life in Christ, they become a new creature in Christ, that's a miracle, that's an incredible miracle, and then there's other things that God does, and we'll touch on some of those things perhaps, but let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray that the things that we talk about would be pleasing and glorifying to thee. And we just pray that you guide the conversation this evening, Lord. Father, we just want to be on guard. We know that as both Jesus and the Apostle Paul warned in the Scriptures, there'd come a time when grievous wolves would enter in amongst us being used to the devil, whether they're trying to or not. And we need to be on guard. We need to be alert, because we have a real enemy, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So, Father, bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ. Help people to find freedom in Christ and through your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, at the onset, let me just give you a couple passages here to kind of set the stage here. And as we look at this, I want us to remember that Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 7 and verses starting in verse 15 said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And then in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse number 28, Paul said this, the Apostle Paul, and remember, he's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is just as good as Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He said, "Take heed," Acts 20, verse 28, "take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And, you know, the Bible says things ought to be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, and certainly there's two witnesses right there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. But let me just throw a third one in here just for fun. 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes this, again under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And I'll just add one more in here. Let's just double this up to the number 4 and look at Jude. Jude is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, the book of James. Jude is the son of Joseph and Mary. And Jude writes in his little book, there's only one chapter, and verses 3 and 4, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have these warnings. And we also know from the Old Testament there were false prophets, false teachers that rose up. I said last week, I believe it was, Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, and again, he's writing the words of Jehovah God. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? And then a little later on, he wrote in verse chapter 14, verse 14, Jeremiah 14, 14, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them. Neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of the heart of their heart." You say, "Well, Pastor Al, why are you hitting that so hard?" Well, you know, it just kind of struck a chord when I got started on this and talking about the fake psychics. I remember that's how we got into this. We were actually started with fake psychics that enslave people emotionally through deceit and trickery, fraud and manipulation. And they set their hooks into people, and they use that to extort money out of people. Well, the unfortunate thing is, we need to be on guard within the church, because the unfortunate thing is, these people have crept into the churches. Jesus warned about it. Paul warned about it. Peter warned about it. Jude warned about it. We saw evidence of it in the Old Testament. And so God is warning us that we need to be careful, because grievous wolves slip in even in the very flock. And sometimes they arise even among ourselves, and we need to be on guard. And the question that we had at the end of the program last week was, well, how do we resist this? How do we fight this? How do we guard ourselves against this? And it's very simple. We go back to the scriptures. Last Friday, on our Friday afternoon program, we have a program every Friday here on AM 1220, The Word, from 1:30 in the afternoon until 2. And this last Friday, I was talking about a gentleman from the United Kingdom, over in England, I believe it is, or somewhere in Britain, who had got caught up in this. And he wanted to serve God in his 20s, and he got caught up in this. And he was deceived himself, and he did actually just what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy. He got into the Word of God. And Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, started out by saying in verse 1, "This know that in the last days perilous times shall come." And he talked about false teachers and things rising up during that time. And he comes down in verse 13 and says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Back to the scriptures, that's what he says. That's why Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth," in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And we need to remember that's the secret, how to be delivered from false teachers, how to be delivered from these people that creep into our churches. John chapter 8 in verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we need to get into God's word. Well, I've been talking, and the phones are lighting up, 888-677-9673. And I believe Tiffany has been holding the longest. Tiffany, welcome. You're on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Welcome. You're on the air.
Praise the Lord.
Glad to have you tonight.
You know, you're talking about false prophets and false teachers, and I just think about some of, like, the most beloved pastors that I know, and how, you know, things turn out, and there are people coming up, and, you know, they're, like, pastors, all of a sudden they're having indictments and things for,
Talking about people who get caught up in affairs and caught up with the foul of the law and such?
You know, well, they just, like, you know, they're misleading a whole flock of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the church that I sat in, I sat under for 5 years, and all of a sudden, you know, the pastor's being, you know, indicted for all this, you know, fraud and stuff like this. And it's just uncanny, like, the level of spiritual oppression that takes place, and how you feel like, you know, how you have to answer to God. I just want, you know, people to be aware, you know, when they're being spiritually oppressed.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And you know, people, these people get away with it. And I'm a pastor. I know that it can, you know, you can fall into this without realizing it sometimes. And
yeah,
that's why
you try to be up under the law. You know, you try to be up under the law of the word, and you try to, you know, submit biblically to, you know, spiritual authority.
Right.
And it becomes a soul tie, you know, and it becomes something that becomes part of, you know, it becomes almost like a warfare. Like, you know, with common sense that, you know, things aren't adding up, but it's like spiritually, you feel bound by the word to submit to someone that you know, it's like we can't, it's like God has given us our, also when he gave us our spiritual impartation, he also gave us a natural impartation to understand. He said, you know, whatever is in heaven is on earth. So it's like if we have a natural, you know, sense or a natural inkling that something's not right, that's also our spiritual impartation telling us, like, hey, you know, this is a church, this is a pastor, but this is not right. You know,
absolutely.
We have to be strong enough to answer to, or to listen to our own common sense. You know, and it's so hard nowadays. You know, I could tell you, you know, Pastor Davis, I haven't been to a church in over a year and a half because of, you know, just the hurt and the pain that you suffer when you go to a church, because those people aren't on God's business. They're on their own personal business. And it's like when you want to grow in the church and when you want to grow in discipleship, they'll keep you from it because they're not trying to grow disciples. They're trying to grow, like you said, they're trying to extort money out of people.
Right, they're trying to grow bank accounts.
Yeah, their mission is not of kingdom business, but there's that oppression that you feel like you feel obligated to sit there and be spiritually, you know, dwarfed. Like you sit there and you feel obligated to be spiritually even cut off because these people tell you, like, you're not ready, or that's not your calling. You know, they'll speak into your life.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, Tiffany, let me encourage you. You know, and I appreciate a number of things you're saying. And let me encourage you with a passage in Acts chapter 16, or I'm sorry, chapter 17, and verse 11. Paul made a statement here. He said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. That's the people in Berea when he went there and preached that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And they received Jesus, the message. They received the message of the gospel. But Paul made this commendation of them. He said, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And then he puts this in there. This is why they were nobler than those in Thessalonica who believed. He said, because they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if Paul commended the believers in Berea for searching the scriptures as to whether or not what he was saying was so, you know, whether or not it was true, I think we ought to be doing that with our pastors today. And I'm a pastor, so I'm not speaking out of hand here. I want my people sitting in the congregation to search the scriptures. And that's the check. You know, you talk about checks and balances. Our government's supposed to have checks and balances. The church is supposed to have checks and balances. The people in the pew are the check and balance to the pastor in the pulpit. And a lot of pastors don't want you to know that because, you know, with the moment that somebody doesn't let you question, the moment somebody doesn't let you say, but pastor, I don't think the Bible says that. That's a red flag. Now, I've said things and I've had people say, but I don't think you read that right. And I've looked at it and said, yeah, you're right. I read it wrong. And I should be answerable to the people in the pew. That's what God uses to help keep me straight. And a pastor that will not listen to the people in the pew, that's a red flag. And that's what we're talking about. Tiffany, I want to thank you for what you gave to us here tonight. And I've got a number of callers calling in yet, so I'm going to let you go on that note there. I appreciate that. And I just want to encourage you, you know, pray and ask God to direct you to a Bible-believing fellowship where there's a pastor there that loves his people and listens to his people, because God did not set pastors up in churches as kings, as lords over the flock. He didn't set them up to fleece the flock. He set them up to guide the flock, to sacrifice. The shepherd versus the hireling. The shepherd gives his life for the flock. The hireling doesn't. The hireling's there for the money. And so I appreciate that, Tiffany, and thank you for that call tonight. And we've got some more callers calling in. And Tiffany's call highlights a lot of why I'm hitting this topic these last couple of weeks. Because there are people out there who abuse people in churches, and they set themselves up. They call it God when it's really the world, the flesh, and the devil working through them more than the Spirit of God. And you know, my role, I think, in this function on the radio is to try and point these things out, as Jude said, to earnestly contend for the faith, because these people are out there, and they make my job harder, to be perfectly honest, because I try to invite people to church and they've been abused by these hirelings and fraudulent workers claiming to be workers, men of God and women of God. Well, we've got Robin in Cleveland Heights calling in next. And Robin, welcome. You're on Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al. I just wanted to point out a scripture as you were talking.
Yes, ma'am.
I was looking at 1 John 2. Verses 20 through 26, and it talks about God giving us spiritual insight and discernment to be able to see clearly when things are a lie or when we see false prophets, and knowing that we believe in God and that He is faithful to us and that He will give us insight. And I just wanted to, or to see if you can clarify, for the listeners about having spiritual discernment, so when they're placed in those situations, they won't be led astray. They won't have to face losing their faith because they're being led by man,
right,
and not by God's will or His call on their life.
And you're absolutely right. And one of the things, just like I told our last caller, is searching the scriptures. You know, it's like Isaiah, I think it's 8:12, I think it is, it says, if they speak not according to, you know, to this words, because there's no light in them. And if somebody is preaching and doesn't, I don't care what his title is, how many degrees he has on his name, whatever he is, if he's preaching contrary to the scriptures, well, then that's a problem. And, you know, he is answerable to God for that. And that's why we have the scriptures. That's why Paul told Timothy to search the scriptures and all. That's why the word's given to us. And we are. We're to try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. In fact, you're pointing out in 1 John chapter 4, starting verse 1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. And every individual Christian, you don't have to be a pastor to understand this, because the Bible says if you're a believer, you have overcome through Christ. Because the very next verse says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And every Christian, every believer needs to realize the Holy Ghost is in you. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Ghost took up residence in your heart. And every single Christian, now I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and one of the things that I firmly believe that makes me that is that I believe in the individual priesthood of the believer. And by that, I mean that every believer with the Holy Spirit of God in us is able to read the Bible and to be able to go to God in prayer and to intercede for others and to ask God to help us to understand the scriptures. Now, does God specifically give spiritual gifts to people to help, you know, teach and preach? Absolutely. And he gives spiritual gifts to people to help and gifts of faith and different things like that. And we work together in the churches for the edification of the body of Christ, that local church. We should be working together, not taking advantage of each other. And those are some of the things that we can use. Prayer, Bible study, all these sorts of things are things that we can look at to help resist these people, Robin. And I appreciate the call there. I'm coming up on the break here in just a couple of minutes, and I want to get to Ronald here as well before the break. And so thanks, Robin, for that call. Appreciate your input there. And we've got Ronald on the line as well. Ronald, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Now, this is Ron. Hi.
Oh, Brian?
Ron.
I'm sorry, Ron.
Do you remember the Bible passage about being ready to offer defense for your faith?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I was thinking about that when I was listening to Pastor Samuel on 1220 just a couple hours ago. Have you heard about the current event in which the Navy SEALs Team 6 was given a funeral by a Muslim cleric? And Pastor Samuel was talking quite in depth about it from an article, and saying that the family members were pretty upset. They were condemned to hell by the Muslim cleric speaking in Arabic. And Jesus Christ, the name Jesus Christ was not allowed to be mentioned. Are you familiar with that?
Talking about when they shot bin Laden and then they disposed
of... No, this is the Navy Team SEAL 6 afterwards was on another mission later on.
I'm not as familiar with that, but I do know that our military has, in the last year in particular, it's been happening over the last several years, the last year or so in particular, has become very much against Christianity. We had the case a month or so ago where the Southern Baptist Convention website was being banned on military bases. And we also had the case where there was the briefing, an Army briefing, basically listing evangelical Christians as a hate group or an extremist group, and that they shouldn't be involved in that. And there was even a anti-Christian, you know, witnessing. They called it proselytizing. You weren't allowed to do that. You could be thrown out of the military. Right. And the Defense Department has since backed off on that, but we know how they work. They'll be back with it. And if you are a Muslim, none of this seems to apply for fear that they will you know, offend you in some way. And but they don't care about offending Christians. My point is with that, they know Christians aren't going to threaten to blow them up or cut their head off.
Yeah,
that's what Muslims will do.
I think your listeners need to be aware, too, that we need to speak up for Christianity, for Christ.
Well, absolutely.
In these situations, and not to let the Muslims really have the control. Defend our faith and speak up.
And it's because Christians spoke up that the Defense Department backed off on that anti-proselytizing. It would have made it illegal in the military to even for chaplains to be able to share the gospel with somebody who's not a Christian.
You know, sharing things for the Muslim community is fine as long as it's good and good for the fellow man and helping to help your neighbor. But when it's anything evilish or kill the infidels or things like that, that's where the line is crossed.
Well, exactly. And it's just like, Major Hassan, who shot all the soldiers out there at Fort Hood,
right,
and shouting Allahu Akbar, and he's got a business card identifying him as a soldier of Allah, and he's giving briefings talking about why the fundamentalist Muslims are justified in wanting to do these things. And then when he is taken into custody, nobody wants to say it was because of his religion, and the army is saying the worst thing about it is that diversity will be threatened.
And Christians need to get active.
We're coming up on our break. Appreciate that, Ron. And I want to thank you for your call. Thanks all our calls here this evening. And we've got another half hour, so stay tuned. We'll be with you till midnight.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al here on AM 1220. The Word be with you until midnight tonight. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we're going to get to our phone calls here again in just a few minutes. And, of course, 888-677-9673. If you want to get on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we've been talking about fake psychics and fraudulent faith healers tonight and some related issues. But, of course, just want to let you know we're brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82 in the center of North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can call Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let Frank know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. They have calzones, strombolis, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more in addition to pizza at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the high school there. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mentioned that you heard about East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al, just mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's a medium one-topping pizza for $5 just by mentioning me, Pastor Al, and then you can get that, 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights across from the high school. And also, if you're interested in getting started in the pizza business yourself and want to find out how you can avoid the high franchise fees, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, and he can help you get started there. And again, appreciate our sponsors. They help make it possible, along with my home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us there. And let's get back to our topics here, and just want to make mention of a couple things here to get us started in the topic again. And talking about this, because I really believe that we live in the day that Paul talked about, perilous times, when there would be false teachers, people who would enter into churches, even seeking, if possible, to take captive believers and put them in bondage to these things. And they're doing it. They're extorting us, trying to make money off from God's people. And we need to be careful. We need to be discerning. And I found this interesting quote. This is a guy, Mark Havill, who referenced him a couple times tonight and last Friday. He was a minister in Britain in his mid-20s who wanted to serve God, and he got caught up in this, and he admits he got deluded himself, and he made a very interesting statement here. He said it's very important in setting the stage for these fraudulent signs and wonders. He said it's very important to use songs and words that are focused on the Holy Spirit. And this is where he was being interviewed, talking about setting the stage to get people in a suggestive state. In reality, what he identifies now as a hypnotic state, so that they'll be prone to listen and be not critiquing what you're doing and not thinking about what they're doing. He says it's very important to use songs and words that are focused on the Holy Spirit. This creates a far more mystical atmosphere. And then he said this, and every Bible-believing Christian ought to take this next statement to heart and remember this. He said, songs full of Christian or biblical doctrine work against people suspending their critical faculties. You catch what he's saying with that. Songs full of Christian or biblical doctrine work against people suspending their critical faculties. Now remember, the Bible says that The scriptures are given to us by the inspiration of God, and he says they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And Paul goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all, or exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Remember, this guy who was caught up in this, he realizes that he himself was deceived, and he repudiated his involvement in this fake faith healer movement. And he said, songs full of Christian or biblical doctrine work against people suspending their critical faculties. That's why they didn't use songs like Amazing Grace and Power in the Blood at the cross and at Calvary, and songs that talk about the great Bible doctrines. They use songs that would create a mindlessness to open up the audience to suggestion. And he says this then, too. He says, this is something many of them have stumbled upon. It works, so they do it and call it the Holy Spirit. It's not God. It's a hypnotic state that they lull people into in these audiences. And that's why your church ought to be singing some songs that have doctrinal meat in them. Because we have reached the day when people do not want to endure sound doctrine. People themselves are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they're being turned to fables away from the truth of God's word. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we have Keith in Canton waiting. And Keith, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, Pastor, how you doing?
Hi, good evening. Thanks for waiting.
Amen. I believe basically the number one purpose of music is to glorify the Lord.
Amen.
That is truth and heart and spirit. It all goes together. But I just want to spend a real short period of time here. Many times, maybe a little off topic a little bit there, but certain false doctrines that are, let's say, some of the harder ones to discern many times can be to appear to be very biblical.
Oh, yeah,
and,
biblical
subtle
terms, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is, there are some that believe that Jesus did not shed his blood for every person. That is, if he did, then they would all be saved. But God plainly lays it out that his perfect will is that none should perish.
Yes, that all should come to repentance.
There's a two-party plan in there.
Exactly.
I mean, you have God's will and then you have man's will. That is, probably the most popular verse in the Bible, you know, for God so loved the world, that it includes all the individuals, that he gave his only begotten son, that he loved the world, so he gave his son, that is, for the world. And just a couple Bible verses real quick. But you know that there's a whole lot of baggage with certain areas of Calvinistic theology. I highly recommend David Cloud's book on Calvinism.
Yes, that's an excellent book.
The most important book.
Book
I recommend is the Holy Bible, King James, Rightly Divided. That is, a lot of times we need to kind of give up this theology or test theology to get back to the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, Hebrews 2:9, is this true or not? I mean, where it says, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Absolutely.
And then one more section real quick. It lays it out. It says 2 Corinthians 5:19 and following, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray, you in Christ dead, be ye reconciled to God. So am I getting all this right, Pastor, that God is reconciled unto the world, and that he tasted death for every man, and the ball is in their court. We have to preach the
gospel. Absolutely. We preach the gospel.
So that they could get saved if they so choose.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit works on the heart of men, and we have to respond. And let me go back just to touch on, first off, I want to mention the book, Dave Hunt, What Love Is This? That's an excellent book for people that struggling with the idea of Calvinism. It's easy to read, easy to understand, and it presents the biblical case. Because, see, here's what happens. A lot of times people think I have to either be a Calvinist, believing that God only sent Jesus to die for certain individuals that he created to be saved and populate heaven, and then everybody else that he created to populate hell can't get saved no matter what. And that's a Calvinist.
And he never made provision for them.
Yeah, exactly. And people will say that.
Yeah,
if one person doesn't get saved, then Jesus couldn't have died for all. And let me give you a good illustration of that. At least it works for me, and it's worked for several people I've shared this with. I served in the United States Air Force. I'm a veteran, okay? As a veteran of the United States Air Force, honorable discharge, I have the ability to go to the VA, the Veterans Administration, and get certain benefits. Okay, there are certain benefits that I can get. One of those is I can get a zero down home loan. Another benefit that I can get, there's some medical benefits that I can get. There's different benefits that I can get as a veteran. Now, up until a few years ago, I never availed myself of the home loan. Did that mean that and there's a lot of veterans who never avail themselves of that, though it's there. And if one veteran does not get a home loan through the VA, does that mean that the VA didn't provide a home loan, you know, benefit for every veteran? Absolutely not. It just means for anyone who would take advantage of it. I have never gone to the VA and obtained any medical service at the VA hospitals or clinics. I can. There are certain benefits that I can get there. But just because I never go there, does that mean that the VA didn't provide certain benefits for all veterans? Absolutely not. And it's the same way with the gospel. It's provided for all. God is not willing that any should perish. And the unfortunate thing is, people who get caught up in Calvinism, they limit God and they limit his ability. And they think that if you can exercise your will contrary to God's will, God isn't sovereign. And yet God chose to limit himself. The passage that you talked about in Hebrews with Jesus taking on the form of a man, he limited himself so that he could live among us. God in all his glory could not be here and us survive. We'd drop dead in the presence of an almighty God. We couldn't handle it in flesh and blood, the Bible says, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot be in the presence of an almighty God. So Jesus had to veil himself. My dad was a welder.
The ambassador, yeah.
Exactly. My dad was a welder. And I remember he had an arc welder, an electric arc welder. And in order to use that arc welder, he had a mask that had this big, thick, dark glass across in the front where he looked out. And when you look through that mask, you couldn't see anything. You could look at the sun in the sky, and it looked like a little dot, sort of a little faint dot. And that was because you cannot look at that electric arc without blinding yourself. You need to have that veiled in some way. Now, with that mask, he was able to look at that arc, and he was able to weld and do a very good job. And see, Jesus had to have a mask, or we would not have been able to look upon him. And he took limitations on himself. And there's a great verse that proves that our will can trump God's will on occasion. Jesus in Matthew 23, verse 37 said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. So what he's saying here is, this is what my will was. I would have gathered thy children together. This I willed to do this. God's will was to gather them together. And then he says, but your will was that you wouldn't, and so you didn't. Did God become any less sovereign?
The whole scripture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say, did God become any less sovereign because his divine will was prevented there? Absolutely not. If you follow Calvinism to its logical conclusion, God created Adam to sin. He created the devil to sin. I went to school with a mass murderer, a serial killer, Jeffrey Dahmer, sat next to him in high school, all through homeroom in high school. Did God create Jeffrey Dahmer to slaughter people and to butcher them literally? No. God the author of lies? The Bible says God cannot lie. He's not a man that can lie. No. God is not the author of lie. He's not the author of confusion. That's the devil. But for Calvinism to be correct, God is the author of all of that. And that's not true. That's what Paul warned Timothy of, the doctrines of devils. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. He goes on to identify several. I don't want to get into that right now, but tying this back into what I've been talking about these fake faith healers and all of that, excuse me, this is the doctrine of devils when these people get caught up in that. They're being used of the devil, just like Calvinism is one way, and Arminianism, the opposite of that, that says you can lose your salvation.
Spiritual warfare, because it appears to be genuine.
Yeah,
but there's a twist, and so people swallow all this instead of being like a Berean.
Yeah, I've got some articles online at our website, live.maplenoll.us. You can find some of this stuff where I've talked about Calvinism versus Arminianism. Both of them are wrong. The true position is a biblical position that allows for the sovereignty of God and the free will of man.
Amen.
It allows for the eternal security and various things. And you don't have to be a Calvinist or an Arminianist. You can be a biblicist. And I was just going to tie this up with the fake faith healers and all of that. All of this is stuff to obscure what the Bible really says, to get people out of the Word of God, to get people to stop reaching out with the gospel to people, to get people to people are so confused they don't even know what they believe, let alone have the confidence to go out and share the gospel with somebody else. And it's just like the devil said back in Genesis chapter 3 to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." And anything he can do to get people to question and doubt God, he's got a victory, whether it's through these fake faith healers that get people caught up and they demand that people send money. In fact, you know what the major primary purpose of a faith healing crusade is by these people? You know, a lot of people think, well, it's to rake in money at the healing event. That's really not it, though they do rake in a lot of money.
It gets the focus off of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that's
the
what the devil's main reason is. The people who are doing this is how the devil gets them caught up with greed. The main purpose is to build up the mailing list of these people. Because once they got people's name on a mailing list, they just hammer them with requests for money, for gifts, for seed gifts. You know, sow your gift of faith, and God is obligated to give this back to you. Sow your gift of faith, and you'll reap abundantly. What you think in your mind will produce in your experience. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not the faith healer. That's Randolph Price in The Super Beings talking about the occultic universal mind thing. It's occult teaching wrapped up with Christian terminology, and the people who do not read their Bible, who do not question these things. In fact, I read a book talking on some of these types of spiritual gifts, and they said one of the things you should first do is not question God, not question what's happening, just accept it.
And
I'm sorry. This is the problem. Is just like people who go to fake psychics. People go to faith healers because they are desperate oftentimes. They want to believe. And that's why these people will part with thousands of dollars. I mean, it's unbelievable. Somebody could be sitting there saying, well, Pastor Al, you're just jealous because they're getting all this money. Well, there is, I guess, a certain amount of jealousy that somebody who speaks heresy can get people to give them thousands of dollars. I know somebody who gave $10,000 to a faith healer trying to get a healing. They didn't get the healing. I know people who've given hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars. And yet, if the pastor in a local church that's trying to serve God, that pastor that's there for them week after week, that pastor that'll go to the hospital when they're sick, that pastor that'll visit them and talk with them and answer their questions, when that pastor says, you know, we got a special need here in the church, they say, why is this guy always going on about money? And they get mad. But that faith healer can get on the radio, get on the TV, and say, send in a seed gift, send in something. The amount that you send in, God will bless that. I heard a guy was researching for some of these topics. This guy down in Dallas said, I prophesied over this woman right here in this church, and within 7 days, God gave her a brand new Cadillac. He gave her a brand new husband. I don't know if she was married before that, but he gave her a brand new husband. He gave her a brand new 4-carat diamond ring, and he gave her a new Jaguar. And this was supposed to be biblical stuff. I'm sorry, my Savior, you know, he didn't have all of the world's wealth.
Well, I think it was right during the Lord's temptation period where, I'm paraphrasing because I'm not going to, can't quote it exactly here, but that is, he said basically to the Lord, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you the kingdoms of this world. That would include a lot of gold and a lot of money and everything else, you know, power. For he said, for they, that is those kingdoms, have been delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give them.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, Satan's great strategy is to take a fair amount of truth and mix it with air.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's his number one strategy.
Yeah. Keith, I'm going to have to let you go. I just got a little bit of time left. Thank you for the call. And again, thank you for all our callers here this evening. Let me just give you a quick rundown. Here's some warning signs that you can look at. If the emphasis is getting you on a mailing list and then hitting you with solicitations for money, you might want to consider that a red flag. If they give the impression that they're speaking to God right there in the service and God's given them a voice in their ear, you might want to check into that. There's more than one faith healer that's been exposed using crib sheets, using hand gestures and signals from workers in the audience. Also, there was the famous Peter Popoff in the 80s whose wife was speaking through a radio transmitter that he was listening in his ear. Then there's always my favorite, the fake leg lengthening trick. It's just manipulation of the shoes. It's an old carnival trick. All kinds of things that these people will use. But the purpose is the devil uses it to enslave people, cause them to doubt the word of God, and make them hardened to the truth of God's word. Because the devil doesn't want people to be saved. The Son will set you free. And if Christ sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Trust Christ as your Savior. Get into a Bible-believing church that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ and not self. And, well, we'll certainly pray for you folks. And we'll move on to some other topics probably next week. But thank you for joining with us here tonight. God bless. Have a great week. And join in again next week for another edition. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on